Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I watch the film for everything. I'm really critiquing myself more than anybody, but, you know, just watching the overall picture, what we did good, what we can do better, what I can do better. You know, I'm my worst critic, so I'm very critical of myself watching what I do. So it's just trying to look at everything, but mainly what I can do better, so.
Derrick Henry, he had 24 carries for 122 yards in yesterday's game, averaging 5.1 yards a carry, and it started early, getting like 6 yards a chunk in that first drive that led to the only score, a field goal. Derrick Henry going off yesterday a little bit was not something I had on my bingo card.
No, look, you're looking for positive developments and signs of life at 1-5, and this is certainly one of them, and look, they got it going with Ronnie Stanley, and then Ronnie left the game, and by and large, they kept it going. We're talking about, 170-odd rushing yards as a team. What I found interesting is that they seemed to make – it almost looked like they used Mr. Outside to me on the inside a little bit more with Justice Hill, and they got Derrick Henry going off tackle. And I think it caught the Rams by surprise a little bit. And once he got his, I don't want to say confidence because he's been there and done
his
that.
Sea but legs.
I think, you know, he kind of started to trust what was in front of him a little bit more and trust that there might be a hole. Then they got some positive momentum going. And it was great to see. I mean, he ran the ball 16 times in the first half. They've been struggling to get the ball in his hands 16 times a game. It was absolutely imperative. They need to be a big time of possession team. I guess the real kind of gut punch of it all is that it still ended up in a 14-point loss. But I think this was imperative before the bye week that they at least showed that they could muscle up against a really good defensive front and play a little bully ball again. Now, if this has to be note boom with regularity in the second half, I think you're going to quickly see teams make some adjustments. And I don't know that this is truly a sign of things to come. Lamar back, obviously, he can open things up in a different way. But, this was an old school throwback Derrick Henry game.
Yeah, I thought it was huge. And I think it definitely is something that you can build on, especially considering the teams that you face out of the bye week. The first three games are against three of the worst run defenses in all of football. The Bears, the Dolphins, they're horrible against the run. So you hope that Derrick Henry can keep that going. But something that I thought was huge that's been lacking, even though he's been getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, he hasn't made anyone miss. He forced 4 missed tackles yesterday, which tied his season high going back to week 1, 99 yards after contact. That's the bulk of his yardage, 122 on the day, 99 after contact. So I thought that was very encouraging. I didn't think there would be a shot he'd have that type of performance without Lamar Jackson, a quarterback.
With all that in mind, and we all love Monk here, and I think Monk has, by and large, been awesome as offensive coordinator, but like that series at the goal line, and they had first and goal with the 4. Henry gets 3 on first down. And then not one but 2 tush pushes, which can't get it in. And then at that point, the Rams are selling out the blitz, and Mitchell Payton missed a block, and Henry's got no chance on fourth down. I turned to you, Bone, like when they had first and goal at the 4, I said, if they give it to Henry 4 times, I'm okay going down like that. And especially once he got to the 1 on first down, I give it to them three more times, but they decided to go tush-push twice, and the whole thing went sideways at that point.
They've been very infatuated with the tush-push with Andrews. Heck, remember, they tried it with Kolar a couple of times as well, going back to last year. Doing that back-to-back, and then everyone's selling out to stop Henry on that fourth down attempt. This has just been a horrific offense in short yardage situations, and John Harbaugh said it during his press conference today. They have to be way better in those situations.
They're 28th in the NFL in goal-to-go efficiency. They have not converted a goal-to-go third down yet this season. In goal-to-go situations, they have 11 rushes for 8 yards.
That's incredible.
I'm going to repeat that.
Yeah.
They have 11 rushes for 8 yards. Negative 0.55 yards before contact. Negative 0.55 yards before contact on goal-to-go rushes. That's 28th in the NFL. It's shocking that there's three teams worse. And I think a lot of that is personnel. Like, you're not able to bully people at the line of scrimmage. Your center's not having a good year in a contract year. The guards are bringing him down. We're having to see way more of Nope Boom than we ever wanted. And the offensive line is so bereft of depth that they don't even have a jumbo guy to come in and help him out. They can't win with the jumbo guy.
That's exactly what I was going to say, where later on in 2024 is when they really leaned into that extra offensive lineman. And going back to that Texas game on Christmas, that was
13 times.
Yeah. And now, anytime you see whether it's Ben Cleveland just diving at someone that isn't even there, and it's just a bunch of whiffs.
Yeah, you add that you can't go jumbo with the fact you don't have the best fullback in football in Patrick Ricard, and they used to punch people in the mouth. Now they're getting punched in the mouth.
Yeah, even with the 260-pound wrecking ball of a running back, and when they finally did give it to Henry. After the tush push didn't work, I mean, they knew what was going on.
Yep. And
that got blown up in the backfield, like a lot of these runs. So, like, again, and I don't think Monk's having a sterling year, but, like, if you can't win up front, if you can't get a lean for 1 yard with Derrick Henry, I don't know that that's just play calling, you know? And he's tried to get cute.
Yeah.
And when he got that cute that soon, what it started telling me is he really don't trust this offensive line, and he really don't trust the dudes who can't crack the top five. So
I thought it was pretty surprising Linderbaum in the locker room yesterday saying, well, the Rams wanted it more than us in that situation. I thought that was pretty telling.
You know what else is telling? They, like, one of the things you see on a goal-to-go situation when you have first and goal and you have second and goal from the one, they didn't go play action one time. He didn't trust his quarterback to make a play action fake and throw the ball to somebody.
Well, if Cooper Rush throws a pick there, what are you going
to
hear?
I hear you, but that tells you where we are. Like, usually that's kind of, to use your term, Jason, that's baked in the cake. If you got first and goal inside the five and you get all four downs, you're going to go play action on one of those. They didn't do play action at all.
Yeah, look, I think personnel has a huge role in this, and the season ain't over yet by a long shot. But by Thanksgiving, they lose another game or two. It will be. And then I just think for those who haven't, because I've already started, if you start really panning the camera out, macro level at this roster and who's under contract and who's not and who you really want under contract and who you don't, and you start looking at blue chip positions in need, a homeboy, sunglasses at night's got a lot of work to do. In fact, he's got so much work to do, he's going to try to get ahead of some of it at the deadline, but be careful about that. Be careful.
I'll say this. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we're talking about your playoffs. And I was like, best case scenario for this team, to me, is they're Cincinnati a year ago. And what I mean by that is they're playing relevant football in December, and they're still alive for that last playoff spot come week 18. I don't think this is a playoff team. That hill is in the that's just not.
I said it in the open. I you just can't even talk playoffs right now. Like, win a couple games. You win the first couple games out of the bye, then maybe you can revisit that conversation. But right now, at 1-5, it's not a worthy discussion.
Coming up next, Northern Exposure, and are the Pittsburgh Steelers running away with the AFC North? And what did Mike Tomlin have to say? He's got some interesting comments today. We'll hear those next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
That's Mike Tomlin talking today. The Steelers beat the Browns 23-9.
How great is that?
I am shocked that when I first
you know what that tells me? He really wanted a piece of Browning's ass. Yeah. Like, they had a plan for Browning, man. That Thursday night short week, he wanted to be the one to knock Browning out of that job.
When I first read the quote, I thought he was joking, and then I heard it, and I'm like, wow, this really set him off. Now, the Steelers, for their part, they beat the Browns yesterday 23-9, and they sit at 4-1, and they're kind of running away with this division.
Well, they're going to have to really collapse here, right, to give to give the Ravens a runway. Look, this wasn't a tour de force against Cleveland, but this Dylan Gabriel thing, he's really limited physically, man. Yeah. Like, it's
little guy,
hard to push the ball down the field. Like, Cleveland is going to trade more guys before the deadline. That's going to be another win for Pittsburgh. Like, they've really kind of owned games in Cincinnati. If they take care of business here on the short week, they're coming off a bye, then they get another long rest. Like, they really aren't beating themselves. They're the opposite of the Ravens. They've got 10 takeaways already. Yeah. They keep winning the turnover margin. That seems to be built in for them. They've got superior special teams. We've got garbage special teams.
Got Looper.
It's going to be a mountain to climb. And Mike Tomlin is good for 9 to 10 wins every year. And if one of those wins includes a split with the Ravens, I got news for you. That's your AFC North champions.
They're firmly in the driver's seat, and they've taken advantage of this soft start to the schedule. They should win Thursday against Cincinnati. That puts them at 5-1, but then the schedule gets real. I mean, Packers, Colts, at Chargers, the Bears are in there, Bills, Ravens twice, at Detroit, like... We'll find out if the Steelers are for real, but right now they're firmly in the driver's seat, and they've given themselves a ton of breathing room.
So this was a story that I didn't know was a story because I was at the Ravens game, but I guess the field sucked at the game yesterday, and they're actually doing work on the field today, but Mike Tomlin was asked about the field conditions.
I thought it was poor yesterday. I'm not concerned going forward. It's my understanding that turf is going to be swapped out, but I certainly acknowledge it was a concern yesterday.
So, Jason, this is a complicated situation because it's not just the Steelers' decision, because they play Pitt plays there, high school ball plays there.
They usually swap it out right around Thanksgiving because they get through the high school playoffs. So, like, but this is feels a little early for that talk. I just find it shameful that we're in the year 2025 and this sport, they're playing games all over the world and they can't even give you a decent surface. So many of these games are either played on concrete or they're played in slop. This is a 20, they're pushing $25 billion in revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, and we can't even get field to play right.
Just a reminder, so this is a complicated thing, Jason. Tell me if I'm wrong, but the Steelers can't on their own say we're replacing the field because they need to talk to Pitt and they need to
I don't know about the high schools.
Yeah, but the Pitt part of it, I read that Pitt needed to give permission. Yes. Yeah. So it's
and
a
it
weird
probably,
thing.
It's probably supposed to be split financially a certain way. And Pitt might be like, hey, we don't know if we can do it. And so then the Steelers,
just throw
guys
some money
like Tomlin
out.
Have to go to his, billionaire and say, hey, boss, can you fit the whole bill? Because this stuff kind of really matters. Yeah.
It's weird.
And this
it's
isn't
ridiculous.
And this isn't even a one-off. The,
no,
the Steelers,
it's been going forever.
Yeah,
for there's most of the. I mean, there's it all the time in Washington, all the time in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's the same places.
MetLife's a disaster.
MetLife's got a crappy version of field turf. Yeah. Like it's. But then these billionaires, when they're held to FIFA standards. To get the goal, to get the World Cup and make money off that, they'll go and lay a whole different field over top.
Yeah.
Like for that, to get in on some of that gravy train?
Yes.
All of a sudden, oh, Messi needs this, Messi needs that. He's only going to play here once. That's okay.
Yeah.
We'll give, to get those games. But they don't, but the league won't hold them to the standard that FIFA holds them to. And the last time those games were played here in 1994, and they ain't ever going to be played here again after this one.
You know, it reminds me, this was one of those
things. Not in our lifetimes. Maybe never again.
Jason, this was one of those things that my dad used to, like, it drove him crazy how crappy these fields were and that these guys wouldn't pay to fix the fields.
It's a joke.
To your point about soccer, whenever they get an opportunity to get even a friendly, they have
we'll lay grass on Bermuda grass on top of it. Yeah, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. One more from Mike Tomlin. They did, remember a year ago, they lost to the Browns on Thursday night. Tomlin talks about his struggles on Thursday Night Football.
I'm only concerned about 2025. I got my ass kicked in a lot of ways over the last 19 years.
Wow. Coach.
He's the best.
Mic drop. Now, he did walk out of the I want to make sure I get it right, but he walked out of the press conference today saying something to the effect of, you guys are annoying the hell out of me today. So he walked off. He kind of did a mic drop today.
I was crunching some of the numbers for WannaBet and looking at that Thursday night game. So I think he's played seven road Thursday night games since like 2014, and he's lost all but one of them.
Wow.
That's why they're bringing it up. My first thought was, that's not a lot of road Thursday nights. They must be getting a lot of Thursday nights at home, because you know he's played on Thursday night more than seven times in the last like 12 years. So we'll see. Now, again, he's been really good at Cincinnati, and it's Flacco who just got there on a short week.
And they're 5.5-point favorites?
I'm not laying that many points.
I will say this, and I think Flacco's the –
I might lay 2.5, but I'm not laying 5.5.
For what it's worth, and I don't expect Joe Flacco to beat the Steelers. Alas, he made a couple throws in that game yesterday that Jake Browning's not making. Like the couple throws that to keep them semi in that game against the Packers – Jake Browning ain't making those throws.
No.
But to use Jamar Chase's words, the Steelers are coming to Raw Dog. So
that was a quote.
You got it.
He said
that's
that.
His words,
he
not mine.
Said that. He did
that's
say that.
Words.
He did say that. Yes, Thursday Night Football is the Steelers at the Bengals and Joe Flacco and Tomlin's. Not happy about it. Coming up next here on the program. I don't know if you know this, but the Ravens' offensive line stinks. How bad is it? We got some necessary roughness. Next for you on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a time not so long ago when the Ravens could basically say, you know we're running, we know we're running, and we're going to run it down your throat anyway. I can remember Christmas Day against the Texans. They had big old Pat Ricard. They brought in the extra offensive lineman. They're saying, you try to stop us, you can't. And they ran all over the Houston Texans on Christmas. Well, this year, when teams know they're running, they can't do a damn thing running the football. And that's in large part because this offensive line just stinks.
You know, there's a lot of ways you can evaluate teams, and you can look at different metrics, and I like to look at differentials sometimes. I like to look at first down differential, what a team does on first down versus what they give away on first down. I like to look at red zone differential, and I also like to look at pressure and sack differential. In other words, what you generate, pressure rate and sack rate, and then what you give up. And as we documented in our defensive six pack, and we've documented pretty much every game, anybody watching these games, they're a bottom three team in the NFL in generating pressure and generating sacks. They're also allowing pressures on 43% of their dropbacks. That's second worst in the NFL. And they're allowing sacks on 11% of their dropbacks. That's fourth worst in the NFL. That's not the terrain you want to be in. Now, is some of that on Lamar holding the ball too long in this or that? Yeah. Is some of it just because Cooper Rush and Huntley aren't that good? Sure. But like, this should be one of the strengths of their team. A tenet of team building is you build your teams from the inside out. You could say DaCosta neglects his teams from the inside out. And this offensive line is pretty piss poor. And none of those five, or actually it's six now, because Nope Boom and Ronnie Stanley are basically a tandem. Like, and they probably will be the rest of the year until it's just Nope Boom. And maybe that's even happening sooner than later.
Harp said the ankle's structurally sound. He said that today.
The guy's not playing football. Their season's on the line, and he's not been out there. So that's and Nope Boom's not a starting tackle. He's not even a good backup tackle. I'm not sure he's a tackle. So that's where they are. And Linderbaum's having his worst season. Rosengarten has been abused at times. In the second half, the Rams got pressure whenever they wanted it. They don't pick up twists and stunts. We've talked to you about that. And if you blitz them, it's been a problem even for Lamar, where that's something he was truly, he's truly elite at, but he can't overcome everything. I think we're now, we're getting deep into October. I think it's fair to say this is a bad offensive line that can get worse, because I'm pretty concerned about Ronnie Stanley and whatever's going on there.
And then you add to the fact the penalties, where the game opening drive, which looked really good, you're running the football, you're moving it, and Derrick Henry on a second and six when they're in the red zone runs for 5 yards holding on Falele. Cooper Rush scrambles
the
for
red
7 yards, third and eight.
Just kill it.
Holding on Ronnie Stanley. And then even the third drive where Derrick Henry runs for 12 yards on a second and five, get to the Rams 24-yard line. Linderbaum called for a block in the back, and then you end up turning the ball over on down. So you're costing yourself points there as well. So it's the ineffective play, and then you add the penalties, which puts you behind the sticks. And with Cooper Rush at quarterback, you're not overcoming that.
Hey, here's the odd thing, and I was thinking about this earlier. Like, if you had a good offensive line, you should be able to run the football even with subpar quarterback play. You know how I know that? I know the game has changed, but we saw the Ravens do it 20 years ago. Jamal Lewis ran for 2,000 yards, and their quarterbacks were Anthony Wright and Kyle Bowler. Like, they made the playoffs. They would just run behind Ogden and Mulitalo. Now, granted, Ogden is top 1% of left tackles. Yes. Mulitalo's a very good guard. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. But they told you what they were going to do, and they did it repeatedly because they were good at it. So that really, it's a scar on this team that this line is so bad, because if the line was good, they could have tread water while Lamar was out, but they can't, even when Lamar was there, and that's in part why he's hurt, even though some people think he's faking, but it's in part why he's hurt, because they can't block anybody. This line is so bad.
But let's not act like that's a shocker, because we did all right. I can remember us doing Bone, the exercise, ranking the position groups.
Oh,
yeah.
I have that too.
And the biggest weakness was offensive line, especially if Ronnie's ankle gives.
Yeah.
And their answer to that was nothing in the draft. We trust all the
Henry
guys
Jones.
We've already drafted. Yeah. And Nope Boom. And I'm not a big guard guy, but if your guards are bad enough that they turn your center south, and your center's already undersized to begin with, and now they can play all kinds of games up there and fight for matchups. And again, run twists and stunts. And the two guys on either side of Linderbaum don't know what the hell's going on. That's problematic. And yeah, they ran the ball better in this game, but I still wonder if they really stick with this five-man unit, because you need to evaluate who's a part of this thing moving forward and who's not. And like, Daniel Falele is not a starting NFL offensive lineman.
I want to get to that, because I'm more bullish on Linderbaum than you are, but you're right. Those guards are so bad, they're having a negative effect on Linderbaum. Like, they are playing so poorly, and people kill Falele. Voorhees is just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's just as bad. So, like, now you've got two guys playing subpar football, and it's killing your center, who has been playing at a high level.
But, like, I don't think he's long for here anyway.
I don't either.
So he's a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to pay to keep him. I doubt it. They're going to have so many other holes to fill.
But agreed. But
and like they know. They think they can draft a... They think they can get a starting center off the street because it happened for them once before, yeah. So it could happen again.
Sure. But that's more to your point. Like, the job they didn't do with this line in the offseason, if you put competent guards around Linderbaum, you're still riding it out with him, but the line looks better this year.
I mean, think about what's invested in their offensive line financially. Zilch. Nothing. Who builds that's their Ronnie. Team that way?
That's it.
But Ronnie's on a nothing contract. Yeah, they got him because he's got
at least making money. The rest of them are on their rookie deal.
Making mid-level tackle money.
If Ronnie Stanley was willing to let other teams look at his medicals and he thought that they would like his medicals, he would have made more money on the open market.
Maybe, true. Maybe not. Maybe that's just how bad it is. Maybe borrowed time.
But either way, I think you misheard what I said.
They're not paying anybody on the offensive line. And their answer to that was... Nah, we don't need a swing. Say this about Andy Reid. He wasn't sure about his offensive line. He wasn't sure about the young left tackle.
Yeah.
He paid $30 million, 15 for two, to a swing tackle who shut down Hutchinson last night and may have saved their season. So these guys have nothing invested in their offensive line.
Maybe I misspoke. What I'm saying is if Ronnie thought the other teams would like his medicals, he would have made a lot more money on the open market because, like, coming off the year he came off of, there would have been teams that have been interested in Ronnie Stanley.
He got asked to take a pay cut a long time ago, and he took it.
Yep.
Before he got this.
Yep.
Because there was nothing else out for him then.
But, again, this is kind of the indictment, and this goes back years, where even when they were paying Ronnie top left tackle money, Zeitler wasn't making much money. Morgan Moses wasn't making much money. No. Like they really haven't paid offensive line in general.
So this is where
they tried to cheap it with Villanueva.
Yeah, and
that was a disaster for a year.
That was a disaster.
Oh, let's get a guy for mid-level right tackle play him at left tackle.
8 million.
But I'm just telling you, when stuff really matters, and when seasons are won or lost or defined in January and February. And they come up small. It's in the trenches. It's lack of pass rush. It's not real playmakers on defense because they want to convince you that Van Noy is a difference maker. And if it ever worked, that'd be great. But I'm just telling you, fire the coach who's been here forever and over empower the same Mooks I'm talking about. And watch how that goes. Watch how it goes. It will be. Let them find their McDaniel. Let them find their Callahan. Go for it.
And so this is where we are right now. And Harb said again today that everything's on the table, offensive line. And I did mention, and I was being semi-facetious, but Emory Jones, they did draft in the third round. And he's been practicing. So my guess is, coming off the bye, we may see him. And we're probably going to see Corey Bullock, who was another darling of training camp. And he was a center at Maryland, but he's probably going to play some guard. It would not shock me at this point if we get to the Bears a week from Sunday and Bullock's at one guard and Emory Jones at the other guard.
Well, and look, they've had a little bit of success with Fa'alele as the jumbo. I think they're going to need a jumbo tackle, especially if
he is jumbo.
Because it sounds like Ricard, we'll play the Harbs later, but Harbs is kind of...
he's not sure.
Shoving a little dirt on Ricard.
Yeah.
So
it's his call.
All the more reason why you might want to try to see if somebody else is... at least a below average replacement level guard for the guys who are failing there, and then see if one of them can be your sixth offensive lineman and lean into that.
And Emory Jones is far from a sure thing to even suit up for debate, because Harbaugh said today that he still hasn't been able to work pass protection.
Well, he's got 2 weeks to do that, Bum. That starts now.
I guess.
That starts now.
I guess.
Hey, desperate times, Bum.
It is desperate times.
Coming up next. Man. More things change, the more they stay the same. I'm talking about Maryland football. Michael Oxley might not agree, but it looked like what we've seen in the past with Maryland. Another loss. This one to Nebraska. We recap next here on The Fan.
I feel really good about this team. I know you guys are going to write what you got to write, but nobody can watch what we did today and feel like it's the same on Maryland, because I don't see that, and I'll continue to tell you those things.
So that was Michael Oxley starting his press conference on Saturday. Maryland had a fourth quarter lead, but Nebraska outscored them 10-0 in the fourth quarter. They lose 34-31. And he can say it's not the same old Maryland, but you know what Maryland's been under Michael Oxley? They dominate September, and then they lose games that we feel like they could, using Harbaugh terms, could have or should have won. And now here they are. They could be 6-0 right now. Instead, they're 4-2, and they head to UCLA.
it's so quintessentially Maryland, it almost defies logic. And like for them to follow up the Washington absolute howler with this, it's so on brand. It's painfully on brand to have a chance to have another signature home win against a team again that's about to go into the top 25, who you can nudge aside if you're just able to play some fundamentally sound football again in your own backyard. And for you to be ripped apart by screen passes that were pretty obviously coming, and for the tackling to be so poor, for the critical penalties to continue to come that have always happened under his watch, and then even throw in throw in the intentional grounding. Like, it, oh my God. Like, it was so Maryland. It was painfully Maryland. I just kept waiting for the football gods or them or somebody to turn this thing for them when they had so many opportunities to make this a signature win. And I'm going to say what I said last week. It's a really young team, and I don't put it on them. I put it on the preparation and the work being done by the coaching staff, and I think the defensive coordinator sucks.
It's really frustrating because they were in position to win for a second straight game, and Malik Washington threw for the most amount of yards against that Nebraska defense. We were saying on
Friday,
stud
secondary.
The Nebraska had the best pass defense in all of football. They scored the most points on Nebraska. But it's the self-inflicted stuff. And you mentioned the penalties. Three unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. That can't
happen.
It's
their brand. They do it. It happens every week.
I know. And defensively, it's like the good. You get the three interceptions, one of them being a huge pick six in that football game, but then you wilt in the fourth quarter, and offensively you go another fourth quarter without scoring.
So here's where I am on this, too, and life comes at you fast. By the way, Nebraska, as Jason alluded to, they're ranked this week. It's the first time they've been ranked in October in years. So that and Matt Rhule, who he's good buddies with the AD at Penn State. He went to Penn State. There's some tea leaves there that Matt Rhule could end up at Penn State. But alas, they play UCLA this weekend. UCLA's 2-1 in the conference. Maryland's 1-2 in the conference. And UCLA has looked really good the last couple weeks. And that game's out there. So, like, all of a sudden, this thing goes from we're feeling really good about Maryland to it could be going sideways by next week.
Yeah, it's a season on the brink. And it was a lot. Look, they had a bigger crowd there than I thought they would. It was a lot of Nebraska people. The kids were on, you know, fall break. I just don't know what this new AD is going to think. And I don't know. The sponsors must be, and the boosters must be pretty, must be pretty angry. Like, they must be pretty frustrated. Like, is there a way to keep Malik and not this coaching staff? Like, I think those are the discussions that are going to have to be had because, like, I don't know that you're going to get the buy-in that you would want. This is a business. They're spending a lot of money on payroll in hopes of making money, not just enough money for the football program, but enough money that all their non-revenue sports that actually do a great job, like men's soccer, like women's soccer's on the upswing, like field hockey, right? Like to raise all tides.
It's a really tough. Because obviously they're getting so much production out of a ton of their true freshmen. And if you were to move on, do you lose that batch? Do you lose the majority of that batch, namely Malik Washington? And is six wins enough for you? Like, is bowl eligible enough for you considering their win-loss total was 4.5?
I want to go down that hypothetical rabbit hole with you for a second, Jason, because it's great. And Malik looks like a stud, and he's probably going to play on Sundays one day, assuming he stays healthy. But at some point, is the juice worth the squeeze to get the big recruits but win six games a year? Like, at some point, do those boosters,
men? You win six with a quarterback who, if you keep him for three, maybe the third year, you're flirting with an Indiana-type story. But is that going to happen under this coaching staff?
That's my point. That's where I'm going. Like, can you bring in some – I got a name for you. There's a guy that used to be the coach in waiting in Maryland who's now out of work right now.
I mean,
James Franklin.
He'd do it for free. He'd be Penn State would pay you to be their head coach.
$50 million.
I'm sure how the offsets and things work in that contract.
Yes.
Like, now, I don't, but my question is, would Maryland take that savings that they could potentially get by him doing it cheaper and then use it to go get real, like, real coordinators, not guys who failed in the NFL, like, because I don't want Franklin. Franklin's a recruiter. Like, I don't even know that Franklin's a head coach. Like, I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
He's certainly a recruiter.
I'll tell you what he is. He was a guy that 2 weeks ago took Oregon to double overtime in one of the biggest games that school's seen in a long time, and now 2 weeks later he's fired.
Well, yeah, because these are horrible losses.
Yes, I agree. But, like, just look 3 weeks ago, they were top five in the country because he is a great recruiter, and he did bring in a good coaching staff, allegedly.
Yeah, I just think if Maryland, for all their flaws, if this defensive coordinator had more of a clue and they were just a little more fundamentally sound, like if they could snuff out a screen. I mean, this team is three plays away from possibly being 6-0. And I got news for you. Not only would they not be just in the top 25, they might be in the top 15. Because the Big Ten, there's a lot of people gassing up the Big Ten this year. And Washington just played decent against Ohio State. Nebraska came in here with enough steam that a win over Maryland got them into the top 25, despite the quarterback throwing three picks.
Yeah, they're 25. USC's sitting at 20.
I'm telling you, like, it could be real heady territory, and I feel awful for those kids because I don't know that they're being put in the best positions to succeed.
Maryland, they go to UCLA this coming weekend. That's a 7 o'clock start. You can hear it right here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up next, though, Ravens lose again, 17-3. It's the bye week. Harp spoke a little while ago. Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Banner. He was there. He joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.